not only to us, but to me as well. Because I believe every one of us has a story to tell. Just like, you know, what we heard, what we saw today, which is God's story. And I believe God has a story for all of us. And they're going to tell you the story of two churches that came together for one purpose. And I believe that today we're going to see why God brought these two churches together. And I'm going to speak to you today about the vision, about the mission and vision that God has given us in this church, which I believe through the years has been revealed to us in many ways through the things that happened, not only in my life, but also in the life of the church. But before we go to our message for today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much once again that we can come to your presence, O God. Because only you and only through your presence, O God, we can enjoy your peace, O God, your that tranquility, O God, we need in our life. And Lord, we ask that you guide us. We ask that you speak to us. Lord, we ask, O God, that you enlighten our hearts and our minds as we hear your message today. And Lord, I ask, O God, that your spirit, O God, would just, Lord, give me words to say. For we know, God, that we have knowledge, God, that without you, we are nothing. We cannot do anything, O God, without your help, without your presence, O God, in our lives. And so we come before you and ask you to give us a clear direction on where you want us to go. And as we go from where we are to where you want us to go, Lord, give us strength, O God, to endure hardship, to endure the temptations, to endure all the things that will hinder us, O God, from accomplishing your vision. Lord, as we come together in this congregation, O God, we ask, O God, that your spirit, the spirit of unity, will be upon this church, God, upon the two churches that you have brought together to accomplish one purpose. Lord, we know, God, that there is no accident in you, that all things that happen in our lives and things that are happening in our lives are designed by you. And that all things that, Lord, we experience work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to your. And so we ask, O God, that you be with us. And we give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us say, amen. You know, with the events that happened to me 8 months ago, I was diagnosed with a heart blockage. During that time, I did not know what is in store for me or what will happen to me. That is a life-changing experience. And just like what I said, the things that happened to me, my surgery, my quick recovery, and then today my intubation, have now convinced me, I have now become more convinced, I should say, that everything that happens in our life is or happens for a reason, happens for a purpose. As I said in my prayers, there's no accident in God. Everything that happens, happens for a purpose. The same is true in the story of Redeemer, Church of the Redeemer and Hope. Everything that happened here from the time we came into this building to the time we found ourselves together worshiping God with one vision and purpose is nothing short of a miracle. I said it is a miracle because only God can bring two congregations, two different congregations from two different denominations together to worship God together, to accomplish one purpose. Only God can accomplish that great task, which is to bring together one community, two communities into one. I remember what God, through the Apostle Paul, said, that through the gospel, he brought together two, the Jews and the Greeks, the Jews and the unbelievers, into one community. Because God has broken down the wall of hostility between the Jews and the unbelievers. In the same way, in this kind of setup, in this kind of community, only God can bring two congregations into one community. That's why I said this is nothing short of a miracle. You know, when my surgery happened to me 8 months ago with 4 blockages in my heart, it was a sure path to death. But one thing I learned about that, when God is not yet finished with you, when God is not yet done with you, when God is not done with your purpose, He will do everything to make you alive. Amen. I believe God is not yet finished with you. And God has a job. God still has a job for you. And I can see that in the same way with Redeemer and Hope to You. Redeemer and Hope to You, what happened to Redeemer and Hope to You is nothing short of a miracle. Many people thought that we will not go on, but we will not continue anymore. Many thought that because of the numbers are dwindling, we're going to die and close. But God had other plans. He wanted to bring two churches together from two different denominations to accomplish one purpose. And that is what we're going to talk about today. That's why I entitled my message, Better Together. One vision and one mission. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, when there is no vision, the people perish. And then in Matthew 28, verse 18, or verse 19 to 20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And then in Psalm 86, verse 9, it says, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. You know, when I'm meditating on those three scriptures, I thought about the purpose that God has given hope to you and Redeemer. I believe the purpose of Hope to You and Redeemer is this. This is the destination that God has brought these two churches together. I believe God has joined these two churches together to accomplish one purpose. And that purpose is to honor God and grow His kingdom. You know, there's nothing more honoring to God when He sees two people from different cultures, from different denominations, from two different cultures worshiping together in one building, desiring to accomplish one purpose, one goal, one vision. Only God can do that. You know, the world today, the world that we are living in today, is looking for a supernatural community, a community that will bring different peoples together. You know, people that are different and that have different educational background, different social background, different political, beliefs. You know, in this church, we have people from two different parties. I know that there are people here who are either Republicans or Democrats, but they worship God. They may not agree with their political beliefs, but they agree with what they believe about Jesus, and they love one another, they accept one another, and they serve God together. And that is what God envisioned of a gospel community. A community where we accept one another, we love one another, we forgive one another. A community that is not possible without God's intervention. A community that's only possible because of the gospel. Only the gospel can break the wall of division between two different persons, two different denominations, or two different cultures. And that is what has brought these two congregations together. The gospel. That's why I call this community, a gospel community, a supernatural community brought about by God. And that is a community that is desired to be seen by the world. You know, the Bible says this world will believe in Jesus Christ if they see, you know, brothers and sisters loving one another. And sad to say, we have not seen that in many churches around the world today. And that is God's desire for the church, to become a gospel community where two people from different cultures, from two different beliefs, from two different social, educational backgrounds worship together because they have a common belief. And that is what I believe God wants us to see in our congregation. So why do we exist? Why are we worshiping together? Or why are we here in this place to worship God together? We are here because we want to honor God and want to honor God and to grow His kingdom. The question is, how do we honor God? How do we honor God by... We honor God by establishing a gospel community of committed and dynamic disciples among the least rich peoples in the DC Baltimore area. I mean, God has placed us in this area. And I'm sure there are a lot of different peoples in this place. God has brought different peoples from different cultures in this area for a reason. You know, D.C. and Baltimore region is one of the areas where there are different cultures, from different nations, from different persuasion, from different political beliefs dwell. This is an area where we can see a lot of people from different cultures. And I believe there's a reason why God put this church here, to reach out to those people who have different cultures, different beliefs. And so that is what God wants us to accomplish. Through our community, God wants us to establish a gospel community of committed and dynamic disciples among the least rich peoples in the D.C. Baltimore area. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that still need to be rich in this area. People whom other churches may have not reached because they don't have a vision for them. A vision to reach them. And what is the gospel community? The gospel community is a community built by God. It is a community I call supernatural community, where God's power makes a church attractive. And yet the only way we can attract the world to church is when they see real community. You know, there are many churches in the world today that reach out to a certain part of the community, but not every representative of the whole community. Only God can bring together two peoples from two different denominations into one community. And the only way the people of the world will be attracted to the church is when they see a supernatural community. A community built by God, where two peoples from two different ethnicities, two peoples from different age, two peoples from different political affiliation, two peoples from different social, economic, and educational backgrounds, worshiping God together in a community. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can do that. Now the question is, how do we establish this gospel community? Well, Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, verse 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." You know, the task that God has given the church is called a Great Commission. Why did the Bible, why did we call them the Great Commission? Because this commission is so great. The commission that God has given us is so great. Being put out by the greatest man who ever lived, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. That's why it's called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you." The only way we can establish gospel communities is by being a disciple yourself. You know, God has called each and every one of us to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, to do whatsoever God has commanded us to do, which is to go and make disciples for the Lord. But we cannot make a disciple if we ourselves is not a disciple. So our task is for every one of us, for every member of our church, to become a disciple of Jesus. And from being a disciple of Jesus Christ, our task is to make a disciple that made another disciple. In other words, we multiply ourselves through other people. So it's not enough that you go to church every Sunday, that you worship every Sunday, hear the Word of God, pray, and do all those things that God wanted you to do. It's not enough. Our task is to be a disciple, make a disciple that make another disciple. That is how we can grow a gospel community. We must make a disciple. We must be a disciple and make a disciple and make other disciples. So that is our task. We need to establish this gospel community by being a disciple and making a disciple who makes disciples. Now the next question is, what is our definition of a disciple? What does a disciple look like? You know, a disciple in our book is a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, who abides with Jesus. John 15 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And then the whole context of the scripture is the only way you can be fruitful, the only way you can make another disciple is by abiding with Jesus. And these seven habits are the habits of a true follower of Jesus Christ. So if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, these seven habits are your habits. Things that you do every day of your life because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. So these are the things that are evident in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. The seven habits is from the word service. So we can easily remember the word service. So if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are doing service. And S stands for studying the Word of God, spending time with God's Word. That is the most important thing that a disciple will do. He spends time with God in the Word so that he can know what God wanted him to do. So a disciple spends time with God's Word. A disciple is engaging with God through prayer. A disciple is reproducing himself in others. In other words, he wants to be a disciple and he wants to reproduce himself by discipling others. And then B stands for volunteer. Volunteers his time, his talent, and everything that God has given him to be involved in the ministry of the church. And then I stands for investing his resources for the kingdom of God, giving everything that he can give to advance the kingdom of God. And then C stands for connecting with other Christians so that they can strengthen the gospel community that God is building in the church. He connects with other Christians in the community by being part of a care group, by being part of a small group where they can grow together, where they can pray together, where they can grow and mature together as believers in Christ. And then E stands for engage or engaging with culture through evangelism. That is how we describe a disciple. A disciple is someone who practices these seven habits of a highly committed follower of Jesus Christ. Now the next question is, what are our values? You know, values are the most important things to us. Values are part of who we are, or what is important to us. What are the most important things for our church? You know, values will bring about culture. You know, the only way we can create a culture is through our values. If our values is based on what God wanted us to do, then we will have a culture that God wants us to have. And that is the culture that God wants us to have, a culture that honors God. You know, everything that we do is for the purpose of honoring God. We worship here every Sunday because we want to honor God. We read the Word of God because we want to honor God. We share the Word of God because we want to honor God. That is the most important thing to honor God. And the honor to honor God, we have seven values. Seven things that are important. H stands for honoring God in everything we do. Worship is the most important practice of every Christian. Spending time with God through the Word, spending time with God through prayer, calling upon the name of Jesus, calling upon the name of God by worshiping Him is the most important practice of every Christian. Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. H stands for honoring God. O stands for other-centered. You know, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. The only way we can reach the world is by looking outside. The only way we can reach the community that God wants us to reach is to be others-centered. Meaning our congregation, our community should be accepting, loving, forgiving to our community around us. You know, there's so much division. There's so much disunity in our world today, especially in this nation. And this world, this nation is looking for some kind of connection where they can be loved, accepted, forgiven, where, you know, God can work in their life. And that is the kind of community that God wants us to have. Others-centered. And then N stands for nurturing. Nurturing because you know that you are part of a community that love one another, accept one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, and do all things together. That is the kind of community that we will reach the world for Jesus and nurture the community.
And then next, all stands for obeying the word of God.
No, there's no point in reading and studying the word of God if you're not going to obey the word of God.
And then R stands for remembering everything in prayer.
And everything that we do here in church is bathed in prayer. Before we do anything in this church, we always pray. Everything that we do in church is bathed. Because prayer is important. Remembering everything in prayer.
And then G stands for generosity.
I believe this church is one of the most generous churches. You know, every time a missionary comes here, you know, we give something to them because we love them. We care with their needs, with their burdens. And God wanted His church to be generous, to be giving. Because that is, I mean, the kind of God that we serve. God is a generous God.
And then O stands for obedience to the leaders of God's leaders. In advance, to submit to your leaders, obey your leaders, submit one to another.
And I believe God has given us leaders, godly leaders, where we can submit to them and submit to one another because of the fear of God in our lives.
And then lastly, D stands for disciples.
That is the kind of culture I believe God wanted us to have, a discipleship culture. A culture where we focus on becoming a disciple and discipling another so that they can disciple another disciple. That is the kind of culture that God wants this church, wants our church to have, a discipleship culture.
Now the next question that I'm asking is. Now with all the mission, the purpose, values that God has given us, what is our destiny?
How many of you are familiar with GPS? All of you are using GPS all the time. Before you can go anywhere, you must first determine where you are before you can go to a place where you want to go.
So what is our destiny?
Our destination is the vision that God has given us. A picture of what God wants us to have, wants us to be. That is our vision. I call this a destination. Where are we going? So every time you use your GPS, you determine first where you are. And then also determine where you want to go. Okay, so what is our destination? As I've been talking about, we're talking about a gospel community. I believe God wants us to see a gospel community of committed and dynamic followers of Christ. Among the least rich peoples in the this Baltimore area, meeting in small groups, transforming life, transforming families,
transforming communities, and eventually transforming nations for the glory of God. And that always starts with you. That always starts with us worshiping God together in one community, loving one another, accepting one another, forgiving one another. And the world outside us will notice the difference between our community and the community around us. You know, the community around us can gather together into one community without the gospel. But our community is different because we are a community brought about by God from the gospel. So that is our destination. We want to be to a place where our church is a gospel community of committed and dynamic disciples of Jesus Christ. From among the least rich peoples in the DC Baltimore area, meeting these folks, transforming lives, transforming families, transforming communities, and eventually transforming nations for the glory of God. Now, how do we get to our destination? How do we reach our destination? That's the next question. We have what I call a discipleship journey. This is our destination. This is how we can reach our destination. First, we must win people to Christ. That's the first thing. He must invite us. He must invite people to church. He must invite them to our peer groups. He must bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, we must share the word of God. We must bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then we build them. We bring them to a community where they can grow, accepted, and loved, where they can mature as a Christian. That is where we bring them to a group, a small group, care group, or Bible study, or a community group where they can grow and mature and learn to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then we equip them. That is where Sunday school comes. That is where we train them how to be a disciple and how to disciple other disciples. That's why we have Sunday school. To equip them to become a disciple. And then we send them. We send them by appointing them to become leaders, to become leaders in small groups. And then what happens is if we continue to win, build, equip, and send, we multiply our disciples. And the result is growth. The result is multiplication. The result is we make disciples and make disciples that make disciples. That is our journey. That's how we get to where we are, to where God wants us to go. Next slide. Now, how do we help people stick to the roadmap? We must avoid dead ends by creating programs strategically. So we have a strategy. We have a strategy in how we can bring people from one place to another. Next slide. How do we help people stick to the roadmap? You must avoid congestions by positioning programs. The question. Next. How do we help people stick to their roadmap and ensure arrival at the destination by measuring progress horizontally? Next. Well, you cannot go where you want to go if you don't have the ego. How many of you have realized that? You cannot go wherever you want to go unless you have the ego. So we must choose the right ego. So what is the vehicle that God has given us in this church? Next slide. The right ego is the right direction. In the right direction brings us to our destination. A vehicle is a program or activity that we use to bring people from the roadmap towards the destination. Let's evaluate what we are doing in church. List down all the key activities that we are doing. Next, categorize them under each step, and then stick to your mindset. Next slide. Okay, we have a worship service every Sunday. The purpose of the worship service is not just to socialize, though we want to socialize every Sunday. We want to meet friends, you know what's going on in their life. The purpose of Sunday service is not only to celebrate the Lord's Day. The main purpose of every Sunday service is to inspire you to become a disciple. Now the next activity is a community group. A community group is the Sunday school where we instruct you to become a disciple. That's why I believe every member of the church should be a part of a community group, a Sunday school, where they can grow and mature and be instructed in how they can be a disciple. And then we have a care group, or home group. The purpose of the home group, care group, or whatever you call your group, is to involve every member of the church in the seven functions of the community, which is the seven habits. The only way you can be involved in the service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E, is to be involved in the care. The only way you can pray together, the only way you can study the Word together, the only way you can volunteer your time and talent and ability is through the care. The only way we can care for one another is through the care. So that is our way of involving you in the community. Not just Sunday services, because Sunday services usually is a big group gathering. You don't have time to gather together, pray for one another, encourage one another. That's why we have a community. We have a big community, we have a mid-sized community, and then we have the small size community. And then the individual. The purpose of the individual is introspection. Seeing himself on how he can grow and mature to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. I believe each and every one of us will do our part, will be a part of the bigger worship service every Sunday, that we can be inspired, that we can be encouraged to become a disciple. And then a part of a Sunday school where we can grow and mature and be instructed in the Word of God and how we can become a disciple. And then a part of the community, a care group, a small group, or whatever you call your group, where you can be involved in a community, where you can serve one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, and so on and so forth. Then we will become the gospel community that God intends us to be. It takes the whole body. It takes every one of us to become a gospel community. I can't do it by myself. Barbara cannot do it by herself. So it's Pastor Brady. He cannot do it by himself. Each and every one of us must be part of the community. Each and every one of us must make it our mission to be a disciple and to make a disciple of Jesus Christ. Only then can we see a gospel community. The gospel community of committed and dynamic disciples who will not only become a disciple, but make a disciple who makes other disciples. That's the only way we can see the fulfillment of our vision. It takes you and me doing our part, doing what God has called us to do in order to become a gospel community that will reach all nations. You know, if you're going to think about the vision that God has given over you and the believer, I'll give you eight words. The vision of hope to you and believer is this. Many people, many cultures, one church, one city. Let me say it again. Our vision is this. Many peoples, many cultures, one church, one city. Amen. That's good. Lord, thank you for bringing us together in this place, walking. Lord, every time we come to this place, our desire is to honor you. Our desire is to grow your kingdom. And the only way we can grow your kingdom and the only way we can honor you is by being a disciple and by making a disciple who makes other disciples. Lord, we desire to grow a community, a gospel community, of committed and dynamic disciples, from the least rich peoples to the DC Baltimore area. Though we desire that each and every one of us become part of this community, Lord, help us to be a disciple. Help us to develop a spirit of the habits of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Or help us to spend time with you in the Word. Or help us to engage with you in prayer. Or help us to be, help us to reproduce ourselves. Or help us to be a whole people. Lord, help us to invest our time and talent and passion in you. Lord, help us to be a part of this community, to connect ourselves to another Christian. Lord, help us to engage our culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we believe that only then can we see the fulfillment of our vision, which is many people, many cultures, one church, one city. Lord, we bless you and we thank you for what you're going to do.